Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country? And we're conveniently located right by the airport. We take pride in treating every customer like family, because that's what has kept us around for generations.
Right now, drive home a new 2025 Subaru Outback for 1.9% for up to 72 months.
Start your journey today at columbussubaru.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 9/30/25.
Pro savings days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and dias featuring up to 32 grams of protein.
Hey, everybody, it's Devin.
And Kate.
Welcome to Med Crimes.
We were just having a big old discussion about safety.
Safety.
Safety first, baby.
Safety first.
Can I just, real quick, to all the parents out there, trampolines/trampoline parks.
It happened, folks.
When
they say these things can happen, it happened in the Med Crimes family.
You know what? I've taken my kids to so many trampoline parks,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard some warnings. I've heard some stories. I've seen some posts, some TikToks about don't take your kids to these places. Trampolines are so dangerous. We see so many injuries from trampolines, and it's not from falling off the trampolines. It's just jumping on trampolines.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how common can that be? Trampolines are still, you know, everyone goes to the trampoline park. Everybody takes their kids there on rainy days. Well, guess what, guys?
Guess what?
Yesterday was a rainy day. And my 9-year-old, who's my safe child,
mm-hmm.
just jumped kind of funny, trying to do a cartwheel, like a normal kid thing, at a trampoline park on a trampoline. And she freaking dislocated her patella. And it was so terrifying. And she was in so much pain. And she had to ride in an ambulance and go to the ER. And that was my day yesterday.
I was texting Kate terrible news about our thing today, which was really just sarcastic. It was not terrible news. And then she responds with, yeah, so do I. I have terrible news, too. And there's a picture of her daughter in an ambulance.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
So they had
safety
to reduce
first, people.
They had to reduce it. They had to give her fentanyl. It was a whole thing.
And what did the EMT
thing.
Say? Oh, yeah, we know exactly how to get there. We're
yep,
here all the time.
We do the. Yep, they did. And you know yeah. what? Devin and I, after that whole situation, she's like, did you see that post from Beach Gem? Beach Gem's
Dr.
a creator.
Dr. Beach Gem, shout out.
Yep, we love
Can
her.
Can we shout her out on
Absolutely.
This thing?
Absolutely. Hi, yeah. Dr. Beach Gem.
Hi,
we
Dr.
love
Beach
you.
Hi, Dr. Beach Gem. We love you.
She has no idea who we are.
Trampoline fractures.
Yes, she did a whole thing mm-hmm. on those. And she warns parents, like, it's not even the nets don't help. The foam doesn't help.
Being in the ground doesn't help.
Being on the ground doesn't help.
Yep.
The it's just bouncing on trampolines. The vibration, the pressure on the joints, your body is not meant for that. And it can put a lot of stress on your joints, on your bones. And kids break shit and dislocate shit on those all the time. I had no idea how common it was. And I never thought it would happen to me. So I just wanted to share that little bit. Do with that what you will. I won't judge you if you take your kids to the trampoline park. I promise I won't, because who knows? Maybe I'll end up back there. I don't know. But
when she's
I don't
off
know.
Crutches.
Right now, I think I'll stay away at least for a little while.
I also have a very important announcement to make, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun. It's Kate's birthday. Literally right this moment is not her birthday, but you listening to this is in fact on Tuesday her birthday.
I am very old now, feeling very old.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, I'm 22, everybody. That's how old I am forever. 22. Yep, 22 forever.
All right, folks, we are in for a treat.
Devonism. Devonism.
Even my 68-year-old mother. Yesterday, I was working on this. I was like, I'm trying to write a podcast episode. She goes, oh, a Devonism?
Yes!
Like, even my 68-year-old mother knows that it's called a Devonism.
Everybody in my life knows Woo-hoo! What a Devonism is. Everybody looks forward to the Devonisms
and
because they just have the vibe.
Sorry, folks. It's going to be a two-parter.
Why are you apologizing? That's fucking phenomenal.
You have to listen to me for 2 weeks in a row.
I am so psyched about listening to you
that.
For 2 weeks.
Thank you very
You're
much.
My favorite one to
Thank
listen to.
Thank you very much. And I do have to say,
Chef kiss.
To all the folks, before we get started, we do have a Patreon to announce. So Yabba-doo! Why don't you go ahead and do that, and then we'll say what I had to say.
All right, Desiree Hall.
Hey.
Welcome, Desiree Hall, to our Patreon family. And I picked out a sweet critter for you. You are an Amarok.
Bum, and an bum.
Amarok is from Inuit folklore. It is a giant wolf creature that resides in the Arctic tundra. And it's fierce and it's protective and it eats lone hunters or those foolish enough to venture out on their own at night.
Oh, I would never do that.
So do not mess with Desiree Hall because
nope.
She will rip your throat out if you're alone
at night in the woods,
in the fucking tundra. All right, Desiree.
Thank you, Desiree.
Thank you.
So when we say send us your crazy ideas, suggestions, stories, topics, we put them to good use because I all last week. Was like, I gotta do, it's my turn. Like, mm-hmm. Kate, you know, said, hey, can we have a Devonism? What do you think? And I'm like, absolutely. It's due time. I was shooting blanks, folks. I'm like, what am I going to do?
She texted me all in a panic.
I'm like, Kate!
I was like, bitch, let me just dive through my...
So
let me tell you the
Kate
Instagram.
Kate is clearly the admin on all our social accounts. I get to know some fun stuff here and there and whatever, but... And all of a sudden, I'm like, Kate, I'm shooting blank. She's like, how? There's so many. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just telling you.
I just
like,
don't know.
My mind is blank right now. Mm-hmm. And boom, she just knows the topic, but doesn't mm-hmm. know anything else. But mm-hmm. This was sent to us by one of you.
Yes.
So thank you.
Love you.
This was sent to us by one of you. And I watched this for a quick second. And then I went online and then I went done.
Down
and instantly within 10 minutes I was like, this is a two-parter. Like, clearly
this was the first suggestion I sent her, and I was and Devin was like, oh my god, and I was like, there's more, I have a lot more, and she's like, nope, I'm doing it, this is it. Nope.
And then it's actually you, and the more I kept researching about mm-hmm. it, and then like we'll get to it, but I'm like, it's actually perfect for me to cover it.
Oh great.
It's perfect for me to cover it.
Okay,
because
awesome.
This is very similar to a Devonism we did, I think, way back in season one,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Thomas Hicks.
Right.
So if you need to go back and listen to that, like after this, some similarities, or again, it's season one. So, you know, we were a little hairy back then, but you can do that.
Yep.
But then also to a book that I had read.
Yay!
So this was actually perfect for
That's
me. I was
amazing.
Like, well, this is meant to be.
Everything was meant to be. Yes.
So thank you, listener.
Thank you,
for
listener.
The suggestion.
We love you.
All right. So we are going to talk about Georgia Tan. Georgia Tan is the American social worker turned baby thief.
Fuck you, Georgia.
Yes. Have we done social workers before? Is she a first?
So remember Caitlin Braun? She was a social worker.
Oh, yes, she was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, she was. Okay. All right. Here we go. Beulah.
Okay.
Georgia Tan.
All right. Beulah.
We call her Georgia.
Okay. Georgia.
Beulah Georgia Tan was born on July 18th, 1891. In Philadelphia, Mississippi, to her mother, Beulah Isabella, and George Clark Tan, her father.
Wasn't that more common back in the day, too, if, like, as a mom, pass on your name to your daughter.
I actually know someone. I used to have a coworker.
Oh,
That was named after her mother. And actually, my mother-in-law is named after her mother.
Yeah, I feel like it really doesn't happen anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's like almost kind of bizarre if you hear about it nowadays.
When for men, it's fine. Actually, coincidentally, so the two women that I know, one being my mother-in-law and one being my former coworker, both of them are named Mary.
Interesting.
Named after their mothers.
Wow.
Named Mary.
Interesting. Okay. Hmm. Yeah.
I'm also just realizing that both of our mother-in-laws are named Mary. Why did I not?
I don't know why we didn't make that connection, but I didn't really either.
Random.
Wicked.
So, Georgia was the oldest of two children. She had a younger brother named Rob Roy Tan. And I was like, this is very Southern. Rob Roy.
I love this. Already, I'm so invested.
Her mother was a young school teacher during a time when it was uncommon for women to work outside of the home.
Yes. Okay. Pioneer woman.
And her father was a judge.
Fuck yeah.
So they were pretty well good family.
Oh, they were established. They were good, upstanding members of the community.
She had a home in Hickory, Mississippi, and it was tend to be a popular neighborhood gathering spot. Okay. So her father, her mother being a young teacher, but her father also being a judge, he often sometimes would bring home abandoned or neglected children. And he would remark that they would need like a minister, school teacher, doctor, figure out what to do with the children. So like he was in the system. Again, we're talking 1900s, like early, very early. So there was nothing to do with them. So he'd take them home. But this is some speculation as to where Georgia might have started her interest in social work and having a place for uncared for children. She graduated from Martha Washington College in Abingdon, Virginia. She had a degree in music in 1913. She did also take courses in social work at Columbia University in New York for two summers. Though she had a degree in music, she had grown up playing the piano. So she'd gotten the degree in music, really she wanted to follow in her father's footsteps and learn the law.
Great.
So she wanted to become like become an attorney. He kind of guided her, helped, guide her and whatnot. And so she would read the law. She actually ended up passing the state bar in Mississippi.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So she's like technically a lawyer.
Technically.
Wow.
However, dear old daddy was just like, I really wanted you to know the law, but I don't really want you to practice law. Because again, we're talking.
Is it his life or? I know this is back in. I know
we're talking 110 years ago.
I know. I never get to do an old timey.
So
this is really cool. I love this.
We're talking like, so she graduated college in 1913. So this is how long we're talking, right?
Got
so
it.
She's barely 20.
Yeah.
Unwed, right? So like you still kind of go with what daddy says.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, basically, he's like, you can have the law knowledge, but I don't want you to practice it. So at that time, she had no desire to get married or have children at this point in her life. Daddy didn't want her to be a lawyer. So she's like, all right, I'm going to do the only career available to me at this point in time, which is social work.
Hey.
To be able to use some of her knowledge of what she's gained.
Good for her.
So her first job as a social worker was part of the Mississippi Children's Home Society. So that was for the whole state. As the receiving director at Kate McWillie Powers Receiving Home for Children.
Okay.
So this home was part of the whole Mississippi Children's Society. This was where her adoption stuff started to just bud. She did a lot of questionable things here, but really it didn't take off until her next employment.
Okay.
But this is where some of her schemes really started to develop. She started placing children from poor parents with better off members of society.
Okay.
And I'm using my quotes over here.
Quotations.
Again, we're talking like 1915. Wealth at this time period was often associated with virtue. So therefore, they thought at the time it was logical that the wealthier in society would also automatically provide more virtuous environments for raising children.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes a whole lot of sense.
Clearly, this was also the contrast to what was also at the time considered very sinful actions of like single unwed mothers.
Right.
You're at 1915.
So is that a lot of those babies that were getting adopted out were like unwed mothers didn't have the... I'm just curious as to like why were these children removed? Just because of the poverty, or was it like...
So at that point in time, she did a lot of removing from children from their homes of mothers who didn't have funds, either couples who didn't have funds and they were very poor. Maybe they were unemployed.
Yep.
Or It was while they were pregnant, which we'll get to.
Sure. Okay.
And they were, it's considered sinful actions because they were in circumstances not considered virtuous.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Yep.
They were unwed, poor.
But, mm-hmm. Got it.
Of course, now, and thankfully it didn't take all that long.
Right.
I mean, you know, throughout decades mm-hmm. to be like, of course, later it was discovered that wealth is not a good predictor of good parenting.
No, that is no so shit. True. No shit.
No shit.
My God.
So in the early 1900s and 1910s, formalized adoptions were fairly rare, very formal okay. adoptions. However, in the 1920s, they have started to become more marketed as a shortcut to societal improvement.
Oh, okay.
So there was an ad from the National Home Finding Society that stated adopting would reduce divorces, banditry, murder, and help control births. It would fill all the churches and do real missionary work at home and abroad, exchanging immigrants for Americans and stopping some of the road leading to war.
Mm, okay.
So, I mean, it was a lovely thought, like, sure. hey, you could adopt, it would do this. But
yeah.
again, it was more like, let's take these children from poor people or from mm-hmm. mothers who made sinful actions and let's put them in the churches and in ministry with wealthy, health, well, better off family and will improve society.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was also the same time around the same time of another topic that we had talked about, which mm-hmm. was in previous episodes, the theory of eugenics.
Yes.
Right.
It's so interesting to me.
Isn't it?
Yes.
So very briefly, again, it's just the controlling of the reproduction of genetically inferior people.
Yes.
Through the sterilization. Mm-hmm. So this is that same time period where all of that was very popular.
Got it.
So it became important in adoption not to just get babies, but to get the best babies.
Right. Yes.
And then this was where that whole campaign was just launched about the superiority of adoption.
Ugh.
So it was with that new outlook. And then in the times in the 1920s, also what really helped the business was the popularization of baby formula.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
starting to be made
yep, okay.
and becoming like, you know, obviously it was still for several decades, you know, breastfeeding, but formula is now available.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Where in the 1800s, not really.
Mm-hmm.
So non-nursing mothers could easily and affordably feed their babies.
Got it.
And the demand for adoptable infants rose, especially among busy, successful women,
mm-hmm.
because they're like, there's now another different way I could feed my
right,
child.
Yes.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's. Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
So Georgia, during her approach, she was very calculated and targeted rich and famous folks who paid premium prices for their adopted children. Many of her prospective parents were actors, authors, and entertainers. And unfortunately, you're going to have to wait till part two to hear about them.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay.
We ain't getting to those people yet. So, and unfortunately, many of the circumstances did not prove to be positive for the children that were adopted.
Mm.
I mean, as you and I just kind of joked about, just because you're wealthy doesn't mean that you'll be a good parent.
No.
Well, unfortunately, many of the children that were adopted through Georgia to other families had many documented cases of physical and sexual abuse.
Oh, my God.
Some were even placed with pedophiles.
Wow. Okay.
That's
awful.
So in 1924, Georgia was terminated because of her questionable child placing methods from the Mississippi Children's Society.
Wow.
There was also lots of questions about her practice of removing children from their homes without without cause.
Yeah. Okay.
So
yeah.
Mississippi Children's Home Society was really like getting this over the past few years and was like,
something's fishy.
No. Nope.
Why? Yeah.
Now, during the time that she worked there, before she was terminated, she did begin to believe what is a homosexual relationship with Ann Atwood.
Okay.
We'll talk about this relationship again a little bit more later.
Mm-hmm.
However, so Ann also worked at the Mississippi home and was a single mother. She did change her last name at one point to make it look like she was a widow because she had a young child.
Got it.
So. Okay. After Georgia was terminated, Georgia and Ann together moved to Memphis, Tennessee with Ann's son, Jack. And actually, Georgia, throughout her time at Mississippi, had adopted a young child named June Ann.
Okay.
So Georgia, Ann, Jack, and June.
June Ann.
Are all headed to Tennessee.
Okay. To Tennessee they go.
In Memphis. So we're now in Memphis, Tennessee.
Walking in Memphis.
She was hired as the executive secretary at the Shelby County branch of the Tennessee Children's Home Society. So we leave the Mississippi Children's Home Society. We're now in the Tennessee Children's Home Society.
Okay.
They are the largest. So the Shelby County branch where she was working was the largest branch in the state. They also had many other branches throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia eventually took over the organization and was using what was called aggressive tactics. And then this is really when she began trafficking children.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The Tennessee law permitted agencies to place children with appropriate applicants. To assure there was no selling of the children, the agencies really could only charge very little for their practices. So to maintain those legalized standards, the society, the actual home society, only charged about $7 for any adoption within Tennessee.
Wow.
Yes. Now, remember, this is in the 1920s.
Yeah, I know.
So. However, Georgia was able to still arrange for out-of-state private adoptions for which she would charge a premium.
So she's like bypassing the entire system and kind of just doing it privately on her own.
Correct.
And charging the money personally.
Correct.
Okay.
And doing it outside of Tennessee.
Wow.
So as many as 80% of her adoptions that she had done were to parents in New York and California. So for adoptions in states such as Mississippi, Arkansas, and Missouri, they could be arranged for about $750. And then records indicate, so she worked at this place for several decades.
Mm-hmm.
So records indicate, just so that we can kind of talk about the mass of how big we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's estimated that she placed 3,000 children in just those two states, New York and California, throughout the decades that she did.
3,000?
3,000. So that's how big this got over several decades.
That's insane.
So we're talking, she was terminated in 1924.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she moved to Tennessee and began working.
Right.
And so up until 1950.
Jesus.
So crazy. That's over 25 years.
That's wild. That's crazy.
So at the time when adoptions in Tennessee cost the pricey sum of $7, some of the adoptions through Georgia Tan cost as much as $5,000.
Oh, my goodness.
So it also documented that some children were adopted as far away as Great Britain.
Oh, wow.
So not only was she going international, out of state, she was going international. So when
you can... How much is 5,000? I wish I could Google.
We should Google.
Huh. So $5,000 in 1930 is the equivalent in purchasing power to about $95,748.20 today.
Okay.
Now for $7 is equivalent in purchasing power to about $134.05 today.
So imagine in today's society, you're... The state is making it so that we can only charge you $134 to adopt your child.
Wow.
But George is doing it to the rich and famous.
Yep.
And the wealthy folk
for
almost $100,000.
Almost $100,000.
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane.
So during the time that she was in Memphis, she's there for 25 years throughout all of this. She built up a whole network of people that were working with her. Doctors, lawyers, and judges.
Mm.
Some wittingly assisted her in erasing the past of all these babies in her care. They also tended to be folks who looked the other way when some babies died in her care.
Ugh.
Which we're going to get to.
Oh my God.
So she has people of authority that are helping her to get through to do some of this. obviously, based on the sums we just talked about, it was extremely lucrative. During the 20 plus years that she ran the Children's Home Society, it was believed that she made more than $1 million from taking and selling the children, and approximately $11 million in today's money.
Wow. That is wild.
So what she would do, she would give kickbacks. And so that's what I'm going to just mention a little bit right here. So her child trafficking operation required connections. She quickly linked up with E.H. Boss Crump, and he was a powerful Tennessee political machine. So he was a politician in Tennessee at the time. And he offered protections in exchange for the kickbacks.
Wow.
So that's also why she's charging premiums. Yep, so if you can protect me, you're going to get a kickback from this money.
Wow.
And that was the same with the other doctors and lawyers.
Politicians, man.
So she would take, so to be able to do this, to kidnap and traffic the victim, she paid off all these social workers, police officers, doctors, and lawyers. Some kidnapped children from preschools, churches, and playgrounds for her.
They prayed. Okay, that's really fucking scary.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
not done. Right now we're getting very general, but yes, I'm not done.
No.
So, they would prey on poor children and families who didn't have the means to fight back.
Oh my God, this is heartbreaking.
She was strategic that all of these co-conspirators were authority figures. So many of the children, they weren't afraid of them, right? They were people that you don't normally contradict.
Of course not. Yeah.
They often went with them willingly. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, hello, police officer.
Yes, exactly.
Georgia would also approach family and offer medical or other help. She would tell parents that she could get their children into a clinic at no cost. But if they came along as well, then they'd be charged a large bill. So it's like, I can take your child for free. However, if you want to come, it's going to cost you.
And then the kid is never to be seen again.
Correct.
Oh, my God. How fucking scary and sad is that?
So there's also no phone. There's no internet.
No.
There's no phones.
No,
there's
nothing like that.
So she relied on a whole network of spotters.
Wow.
So basically they would alert her to children on riverbanks. Shanky towns, walking home from school alone.
Oh my God.
She drove up in her big black car, offered these kids rides. She was also in cahoots with a local judge who would help procure children, specifically from impoverished, single, or widowed mothers. One of the things that I had read was like, if a mother had come to the county to like apply for welfare, mm-hmm. then they put them on Georgia's radar. So they're going to the county for help and boom. Okay. Well, we're just going to.
Okay.
So
this whole thing, everything you're describing is like nightmare fuel to me. Like the car driving up and like picking up kids who are walking home from school. Like these are all such very real concerns that we're all like so hypervigilant about now. But like, this is so fucking scary to me.
Yes.
This is terrifying.
So.
Oh my God.
Unfortunately, and when you have a whole system that's in on it too. You know what I mean?
Like a whole network, like you said, of spotters, and you've got people in the government mm-hmm. that are watching your back
and getting money for it.
That's so fucked up. Shit like this probably happens today all the time.
Oh, human trafficking.
Yes. So, exactly.
Mm-hmm. She had a very high profile conspirator, Judge Camille Kelly, and she presided over the juvenile court in Shelby County, which mm-hmm. is the same county. In Tennessee for 30 years. And so this judge helped.
Wow. Fuck that judge. Big time.
Fuck you, judge.
Fuck that and fuck you.
Two of her staff members also were Alma Walton and Regina Wagoner. So they were employees who worked for TAN and made trips every 3 weeks with 4 to 6 babies.
Oh my God.
So they took the babies from California and so Walton took the children to California and Wagoner took them to New York.
Can I just... So Georgia is a terrible fucking human being, but like the amount of terrible human beings that are involved in this, like that do all of these people, like I know the spotters are literally yanking kids off the street. So like, I get it. But like these transporters and stuff, like they know that this is shady.
They know that this is not, especially when we get to a different. So. In just a short segment here, I'm going to get to some other stuff about the babies.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of kidnapping, some preschool age children, whatnot. But give me a second. And yeah, there's no way they don't know.
Of course. Especially when they're in the
hospital setting.
So it's like money makes people just like completely lose their fucking humanity. Completely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is just like so scary.
And as
to me.
I'll mention soon and then also more in part two, you would think George is doing these terrible things to give children a good life. But again, they were placed with pedophiles.
Yes.
They were physically abused, sexually abused.
She clearly does not give a fuck.
And even when they were in her, like, so-called orphanage, which mm-hmm. we'll get to.
Oh, my
deplorable
God.
Deplorable conditions.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's so deplorable. Sad. Oh, God. Okay. Oh, my God.
So Walton and Wagoner, as they were going to deliver these babies every few weeks, they would rent hotel rooms to meet with prospective adoptive parents, most obviously wealthy. Each couple would pay $700 in a check made out to Georgia. They might also charge prospective parents for background checks that never actually had happened, air travel costs that were at ridiculous rates, and adoption paperwork at 5 times the actual cost. So even though these families could afford it, she's inflating the prices just to get the cash.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's. Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Now, where did all the babies come from? I've already started to mention some of their methods mm-hmm. and whatnot, but so there was a lot of pressure tactics, mm-hmm. threats of legal action, and other ways. She would dupe or coerce birth parents, mostly poor single mothers, to turn the children over to her custody, often under false pretenses.
Wow.
Georgia had arranged to take children born to inmates at the Tennessee Mental Institution and those that were born to wards of the state through her connections. She eventually resorted to the other kidnappings to meet the demands of adoptive parents. So many people, the demands not only of the money, but the families that mm-hmm. were saying, give me children. That's when she would resort to all the other tactics.
Mm-hmm.
It was reported by a prominent researcher, Emma Annie Winslow, that there were three homes in Memphis, Tennessee that were for unwed mothers. And usually what they would do is they would work with the local health department and they would commit to keeping the mothers with their infants for at least 3 months before seeking adoption. So it was like for benefit for the baby to do breastfeeding, the weaning and mm-hmm. whatnot. And they would keep them for 3 months. However, all three homes had reported that the Tennessee Children's Home would collect the children within just a few weeks due to court commitments.
Oh my God. That's so sad.
So Winslow also reported that Georgia Tan had the practice of collecting children directly from their mothers at the hospital before the mother was even released.
Oh my God.
Some mothers having signed the children over to the orphanage before the child was born.
Okay.
She preferred to receive the children early, quote unquote, before they developed thrush or some other infection in the hospital. It was noted that during 1933 to 1934, there were little to no maternal deaths between the three homes, the three homes for unwed mothers.
Okay.
But there was a large number of infant deaths due to an epidemic at the Memphis General Hospital. And we'll kind of, they're basically like saying that throughout the 1930s, as a result of Georgia Tan's scam, Memphis had the highest infant mortality rate in the U.S.
Oh my God, wow.
This it was because, crazy. Again, taking them from so young, but also the deplorable conditions.
Absolutely.
And taking them out of medical care.
Oh my God, that is so sad. Jesus.
So she was taking children born to unwed mothers at birth, claiming that the newborns required medical care. When the mothers asked about the children, Tan or one of her accomplices would explain that the babies had died when in reality they'd been placed in foster homes or adopted. And it was reported that there was up to 7 kidnappings in one night at the Memphis General Hospital. All
7
in one night. All seven women were told that their babies had died. All seven women in one night at the hospital.
How do they orchestrate that?
So this is the part when you were like, they had to have known.
Yes.
You don't just have like seven women all in labor.
No.
And be all being told that they died when they went somewhere with people not like, so clearly they're in it. They're getting kickbacks. This is a whole big orchestra. Like,
how are all these underground terrible fucking people finding each other and creating these networks
and
of terrible people?
And this is where I wanted to be like, does this remind you of Dr. Hicks anyone?
Yes, 100%.
Because that's exactly what he was doing. Not in a mass, like all at one night, you know what I mean? But he was like having his own little office, giving birth, and then all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry, the baby died, when really the baby's going out the back door to some other
adoption. Oh my God,
adoption,
that is
fucking
weird and terrifying.
Season one, folks,
yep,
was Dr. One. Thomas Hicks. So they were doing the exact same thing.
Oh my God, wow. So messed up.
And also in other cases, very similar to what I said before, some single parents would drop their children off at nursery schools only to be told that the welfare agents had taken their children. In 1992, there was a report. So like, you know, like we're talking more recent, they're doing like, oh, back in times. So it was on 60 Minutes. There was an interview given by Robert Taylor, and he was a lawyer that had investigated the Tennessee Children's Home Society. And he had said, quote, in that interview, if they were unsedated and tried to hold on to the babies after the baby was born, then Georgia Tan would step in and say, well, you don't want people in your hometown to know about your pregnancy, do you? So those were just all of her tactics.
Jesus H. This is crazy. This is crazy.
Yes.
That she was, that this amount of children were involved.
Thousands.
This scale is unfathomable to me. I cannot believe that this went on to the scale and as long as it did.
It's absolutely insane.
This is fucking bonkers.
It's absolutely insane. And it really started to, I'm going to bring up that book in a minute, but it really, I'm like, oh man,
Jesus.
So obviously, so mentioned again, children would be temporarily placed in an orphanage. So like they were also kind of like, it was supposed to be a time of like, here, you can bring them to this place.
Right,
like the family's experiencing illness or unemployment.
Yeah.
Right. Like we can't afford. So I'm out of a job. I'm temporarily giving to you because I can't take care of them.
Right.
Then again, they would find out that the orphanage had adopted them out or had no record of the children ever being placed.
Wow.
Like it was just like, oh, you never even brought them to us. Like what? And the children are gone.
That's nightmare fuel again. This is crazy.
We found that on many occasions, babies had been taken only a few hours old and placed in nursing homes and in and about Memphis where they were without medical care. So that's where the infant rate deaths were coming from.
Crazy.
So Robert Taylor, the person who had done the interview on 60 Minutes in the 90s, he had spent more than a year in the investigation and working on a 240-page report for the governor about the Children's Home Society. He spoke with countless of child welfare experts, psychologists, and pediatricians who relayed the terrible truth of the children's home. And it's quoted, we found that on many occasions, babies had been taken only a few hours old and placed in nursing homes where they were without medical care. They were placed in the Memphis home itself, were not properly cared for. Many children died while there as a direct result of violations of physicians' orders.
Wow.
Some people started to raise a stink when a dysentery outbreak swept through the orphanage.
Oh, shoot.
Taylor's report used the phrase, babies were dropping like flies.
Oh.
When somewhere between 40 and 50 children died in 1945 alone in approximately a 4 months time span.
Oh my God.
This is where I'm going to stop for part one.
Oh my God.
And I stop here because let's soak that in for a minute. 40 to 50 babies in 4 months time in the orphanage itself. So where they're being stored, I want to say housed, but it's not even a house, where they're being stored, waiting for the next home. And the deplorable conditions there
are so bad.
Are so bad. And this is where it got me. So when I was doing the research, so there is a book, we should link it in the show notes.
Yes, definitely.
And I'm on social medias and stuff. There's I'm on a bunch of book groups and I see this book mentioned several times. I'm like, oh yeah, I read it a couple of years ago. So it's Before We Were Yours by Lisa Wingate. And it wasn't until I was doing this research that this book is a fictional version specifically about Georgia Tan and the Tennessee Home Society.
Wow. Crazy.
It's crazy. And I remember in this book, you're reading the book as the point of view of the children.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're reading it, you're listening, you're like getting the descriptions of this young family, what happens to them while they go through this home and how they were picked up and what happened. And it's just absolutely awful.
Crazy.
So I wanted to summarize everything that's going on, how she's gotten the babies, the conditions that they're in, and her network.
Yeah.
In part two, we're going to talk about the adoptive parents, children that were placed, but also the aftermath of the adoptions and how it even still affects it today.
Wow.
Because it's still, some of the practices that were in place here still affect today.
Wow.
I'm disgusted.
This should not have happened.
No. This should not have happened. We're talking
thousands of babies.
Decades. So she was over she was over 20 years itself just in Tennessee. And she was in Memphis for probably almost a whole decade before then too. So about 30 years this was going on.
What pisses me off is like the high level
from the
20s
to the 50s.
Yeah, what pisses me off is like this, the high level corruption.
The conspiracy all throughout the whole community, correct.
And how it draws parallels to, like I said, this shit that goes on today. Like,
absolutely.
You know, crime and abuse and these sex trafficking rings and these human trafficking rings are as successful and elusive as they are because
of people getting
kickbacks.
Because
people are getting kickbacks.
Correct.
I guarantee it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is just
I can't
so
thank the person enough that sent it to Kate, who then sent it to me, because again I was shooting blanks and I'm like, what am I going to talk about? But the end. So I'm so invested in this now because
right,
it's crazy.
But how the fuck are we not like still talking about this like routinely? How the fuck did I not know anything about? And I said that to the person who sent it to me. I said, I cannot believe I have never heard of this. How have I never heard of this?
Correct.
It blows my mind that this is not like something that is like a known thing
about the adoption
person.
Trafficking.
Yes.
Yeah.
About like this person in general too. Mm-hmm. And just like the scale that this is allowed to continue on. I can't even.
It's crazy.
This is so heartbreaking.
Thank you for listening, everyone. We will discuss more in part two.
Stay tuned.
We're going to get into details.
Yeah.
I even recognize at least one name.
Ooh.
Of
a rich and famous?
Rich and famous that adopted from there.
Oh my God, don't There's spoil at least it for one me. Name. Oh my God, I'm not even going to Google it. I'm just going to wait for it to unfold. Oh my God. Okay.
If you want to continue listening, you can check us out on Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast.
Find us on YouTube, Med Crimes Podcast.
You can search for us on Instagram at Med Crimes Podcast. Hey, Dr. Beach Gem.
Sup, Dr. Beach Gem. We love you. If you wish to become a Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast. It's fun there. There's a community there. We chit chat. We share extra side stuff, behind the scenes stuff. Get a free t-shirt if you're there long enough. There's also a 10% off coupon for our merch store, which is medcrimespodshop.com.
Which we should be having a new shirt coming out because the people wanted.
Oh, it's coming, baby.
The people asked.
Yep. The design is getting approved. It is coming.
You can also send us your crazy stories, ideas, any story suggestions. Please do, because it helped when I was blind.
Yes.
At medcrimes@gmail.com.
Stay safe out there.
Happy birthday, Kate.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,